Registration is open for our 2017 National Conference, No Other Gospel, Reformation 500 and Beyond. Find out more at thegospelcoalition.org/2017.
This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen.
Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with Tim Keller, John Piper, and Don Carson. They discuss the very best books they've read on the Reformation and how they've been shaped by that reading.
David Danielle, William Tyndale. David Danielle's the biographer of the book, William Tyndale, and frankly, top three biographies I've ever read, and could hardly put it down. It is so beautifully written, so engagingly written, and Tyndale is such a riveting, heartbreaking character. And I suppose the reason it's front burner for me right now as we record is that you know that I was just in Europe. Mm-hmm. We were together in Geneva, so I was in Poland, Geneva, and Italy, and I came away. Somebody said, what's the main impact? I said, I'm a raving Protestant. I came away from the... I just wanted to weep over the negatives of the Roman Catholic Church in Italy in particular, where somebody says, is the Reformation over? I say, it never even got there. And therefore, the burdens under which they work. And just one illustration why Tyndale is so precious to me. I heard of a nun, an 80-year-old nun, who was converted recently, who had never read the Gospel of John. 80 years in the service of the church, never laid eyes on the Gospel of John. It makes me mad. It really makes me mad. And so Tyndale died. They killed people. They burned people alive for reading the English Bible. So we got an issue here. Just, you know, doctrine of justification or whatever aside, the Bible. Give me the Bible in the vernacular, and I'll be burned alive to make that happen. That was Tyndale for me. And today, mm-hmm. it feels really relevant, feels really big right now. Mm-hmm.
And the perseverance of the man when he lost manuscripts and just kept on going and going.
So, best thing you've read or impact on Reformation?
I really don't like these best questions, or what's the one thing? Because I've changed my mind on such questions with time, you know. But if I had to list,
we'll give you wiggle room. Talk.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
If I had to choose one, I would say Calvin's Institutes. I first skim read them. I mean, how do you skim read? I did. I skim read the Institutes when I was a young man, but. And it's important to remember that the first edition was really quite small, and Calvin wrote them at the age of 26. That's staggering.
Yeah.
The integrative thought already at the age of 26. It's humbling, staggering. But then he kept thinking and working and thinking and working and expanding. And now, one of the reasons why I think it's important, there is scarcely a major theological, even theological / cultural topic in which we engage today, where I can't go back to the Institute somewhere and say, Calvin thought about it before I did, you know, and mm-hmm. really probingly too. I remember working on Christ and Culture Revisited and rereading chunks of Book 4. That has been shaping in all kinds of ways. The man's mind was steeped in Scripture. Moreover, he could move from commentaries that were simply following the outline of the passage and not always integrating things deeply into his Institutes. And yet the Institutes themselves show all of this profound integration even while he's a first-class commentator. The combination of faithful, nose into the text, commenting on the one hand, and yet this godly, whole Bible, whole God integration in the Institutes, it's shaping. It's shaping for me.
Yep.
I had my younger self, I just can't stick to one. My younger self did read Roland Bainton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here I stand. It was in the my early days when I was becoming Reformed, and when I was during my years at Gordon Conwell, and that book is a kind of a mixture. You know, it's not quite. It's probably a little too boosterish, but for modern historians. But it's on the other hand, it's not just a hagiography either. And it was it really was pretty astonishing to me. But that's almost my younger self. So like I know that the young Tim Keller loved that book, and yet I haven't been back to it as much. Recently, I did read Calvin's Institutes in a year, you know, 6-7 pages a night, and about 5 years ago, I think it was, and it was pretty pretty remarkable. In my case, Don, one thing I realized was that virtually every single thought leader, theologian, Christian thinker that I most loved must have gotten this stuff from him, or maybe Augustine, because it's so clear that he quotes Augustine, you know, as much as everybody else he quotes all put together, either from him or Augustine. I suddenly said, wait a minute, you know, I thought Edwards came up with that. I thought everybody, different people, I thought Kuyper came up with that. I thought, you know, everything I had ever loved was in there and expounded, you know, rooted in the scripture and that sort of thing. The other thing is, you know, our temperaments are a little different, John, but I would have to say, I'm probably not going to sound as intense. When I came out of that, I felt more convinced as a Protestant than ever. I mean, a perfect example is I got to one place in the text where I knew the next 120 pages were dedicated to proving that there's not seven sacraments, there's two. So I'm sitting there saying, do I cheat? I mean, look, I'm in my late 50s. I know there's only two sacraments. Why do I need to read? No, I'm going to do it. So I read the 120. He was amazing. Like when he said, for example, the idea that you cannot get remission for sins without going to a priest to do confession. He says, he even is willing to say, look, on the bright side, that means we're not into self-accreditation. We're into, you know, you'd go to the church. You know, he says, there's advantages to this. But he says, let me tell you how that undermines the gospel, which I'd never thought of. He says, either it'll make you a legalist, which means you're going to have to go running to a priest like every hour, like Martin Luther, or it'll make you an antinomian who says, I can go out and clobber people and do anything I want and then just show up and get confession every so many days. So he says, what it does is it actually destroys grace in the life. And I remember thinking, this is just too brilliant. Why didn't I ever see this before? And when just reading the Institutes made me say, yes, I'm a Protestant. And as far as I'm concerned, the Reformation was very important.
Yeah. And just before we walked in here, Don and I were talking about that very confessional issue is alive and well. That may be a good place to end. Like, I mean, people wonder, do we need to rehash the Reformation again, indulgences, that long? And we were saying, on the contrary, the present Pope has established a year of Jubilee, special places where you can go, get these plenary indulgences. So that's not...
No, old. Right. And Calvin just made a good case for to say, it might be well-intentioned. I mean, it's funny, you know, Calvin was, in spite of how it people say, oh, he was so anti-Catholic, there's plenty of places where he gives credit where credit is due, where he says there's not only true Christians in the Catholic Church, but true congregations, he says, in the Catholic Church, which is a bridge that I think a lot of Protestants would say it's too far. Nevertheless, at the end, he says, this is just undermining the very idea of grace, and it's not something we can compromise with.
It might be worthwhile adding one other tome. I did read Roland Bainton when I was at seminary, and I didn't even think of him in this way, but I remember it was shaping at the time.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, it's a form of history that modern historians often view as too hagiographic, too, yeah. It's not entirely even-handed and
no,
so
it's
on.
Too promotional.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit too much hype. But on the other hand, Mel Daubigny's two volumes on the Reformation.
You have to spell that for average people like me.
Daubigny,
yeah,
D apostrophe A-U-B-I-G-N-E acute. Jean-Mel Daubigny. And it's worth perusing to this day. It's Banner of Truth had just come out with another edition of it.
Yeah, it's still in print.
It was written 100 years ago. 100 and whatever it was. It's got an old-fashioned style to it, and it's a bit polemical. But in terms of painting broad pictures and showing what some of the issues were without putting on all the footnotes, it's a challenging and encouraging piece of work, and I'd gladly give it to a lot of young pastors.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.